The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. It's on page 94 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Allow me to read the word of God. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen." From the time he was born to the time he began his public life, Jesus mainly resided and spent time in Nazareth, a small town in Galilee. Nazareth was also the place where Mary, the mother of Jesus, received God's word that she would bear a son whom she should call Jesus. It was also the place where she returned to after giving birth to Jesus in Bethlehem to comply with the decree of the Roman Emperor Augustus Caesar and heading to Jerusalem to present Jesus at the temple for the purification rites. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 shows that Jesus spent his adolescence in Nazareth. And Luke chapter 4, verse 1 shows that the place that Jesus returned to after receiving his baptism in the Jordan River was also Nazareth. After his baptism, Jesus spent 40 days in the desert being tempted by the devil. And the place he returned after overcoming all temptations was yet again Nazareth. After he returned from the desert, Jesus began to spread the gospel. Jesus began teaching at the age of about 30, as noted in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 show that he began his first teaching in Galilee. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Jesus taught the gospel in various places in Galilee in the power of the Spirit. His baptism, the temptation of the devil, and his teachings in Galilee are a series of events that commonly appear in the Synoptic Gospels. Galilee is a place where Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, is located. But why did Jesus start spreading the gospel in Galilee first? Before he began his work in Galilee, Jesus didn't just stay in Nazareth. Jewish men who have come to age had to go to Jerusalem, where the temple of God was located, to give offerings during the three pilgrimage festivals, which were Passover, Weeks, and Tabernacles, in compliance with the commandments recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. Since the Babylonian exile, it had been difficult to visit Jerusalem three times a year. But a visit to Jerusalem for the Passover was a must. Therefore, Jesus also left Nazareth at least once a year and headed to Jerusalem, which was located 90 kilometers south of Nazareth. Jesus did not choose to start his public life in Jerusalem, which was considered the cradle of faith by the Jewish people. Instead, Jesus began his public life in Galilee for a reason. Galilee was a big administrative district equivalent to a county or a province today. It was also a geopolitically important location. The tribes of Naphtali, Asher, and Zebulun were located near Galilee, and plenty of rainfall helped the land and the region to be fertile and great for farming. According to historian Josephus, Galilee was populated by a large number of people in 204 small cities and villages, and the number of people totaled several million. In 722 BC, Samaria, which was located south of Galilee, was completely conquered by Shalmaneser of Assyria. About 10 years prior, Galilee had been occupied by Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. Since then, Galilee was opened up to the Gentiles and became a culturally diverse place. During Jesus' time, Galilee was under the Roman rule. Pontius Pilate was the prefect of Judea, and Herod Antipas was the tetrarch. As subjects of the Roman rule, people of Galilee suffered from the burden of all kinds of taxes, and many fell to poverty. As such, Galilee was a place where the majority of the low-class people lived in difficulty and poverty under the minority of rulers. Moreover, in the perspective of the people of Judah in the south, was the same as the land of Gentiles that had changed due to the inflow of Gentile population and diverse cultures. Jerusalem, which was located in Judah, was the symbol of the exploitative class of people who enjoyed wealth and abundance through the sacrifice of Galilee in the north, and Galilee was the symbol of marginalized regions. The residents of Galilee didn't have any hope of their own and could only rely on God. In such a region, Jesus began his work to show the people of Galilee that their hope for the Messiah was no longer something that had to be wished for in the future. It had come true today. Jesus taught and spread the gospel everywhere, and in particular, he even taught at the synagogues, which were the places of teachings of the commandment, worship, and prayer. And people praised him for his teaching. Jesus didn't simply teach in one place. Instead, he went to many different synagogues in Galilee to spread the gospel. Since there were 204 small cities and villages in Galilee, each one have had at least one synagogue. Jesus, who taught in many different synagogues, also taught the gospel at the synagogue in Nazareth, where he was brought up. Let's look at verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. Jesus' teaching in the synagogue in Nazareth, Galilee, was Jesus' first sermon that is introduced in the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, intentionally introduced Jesus' teaching at the synagogue in Nazareth as the first sermon Jesus gave in his public life. Meanwhile, the Gospel of Matthew explained that Jesus' work in Galilee was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, but recorded that Jesus' first message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," as recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The Gospel of Mark also describes Jesus' work in Galilee and introduced, "The time has come, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news," as Jesus' first message in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Yet, unlike Matthew and Mark, Luke recorded that Jesus' first sermon was the sermon at the synagogue in Nazareth, Galilee, in an attempt to reveal who Jesus was. The word of God in Jesus' first sermon, as according to the Gospel of Luke, was from the book of Isaiah. Verse 17 says, "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written." The person who handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah to Jesus was the attendant of the synagogue in Nazareth, mentioned in verse 20 of today's text, who was in charge of the scrolls. Generally, worship in synagogues began with the reading of the Torah and ended with the second part, which involved the teaching of a preacher. Choosing a prophetic book and the text from the book was up to the preacher. And the verses that Jesus found and read from the book of Isaiah has been recorded in verses 18 and 19 of today's text. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These verses are based on Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and also includes a few phrases from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. The message from the book of Isaiah cited in today's text was the word of God given to prophet Isaiah approximately 700 years before the time Jesus gave his sermon in the synagogue in Nazareth. It was about the work of the Messiah who would come in the future. Prophet Isaiah, who preached and prophesied in Jerusalem, saw the fall of Israel in the north by Assyria in 722 BC, and prophesied that Judah in the south would also fall at the hands of Babylon. After prophet Isaiah passed away, Judah was conquered by Babylon, and therefore the people who experienced the Babylonian exile, as well as the people who experienced the return from Babylon and their descendants, could not but long for the Messiah when they read the word of God prophesied by Isaiah. They could not have any hope on their own, and therefore they instead prayed to God. The Jewish people prayed for the Messiah to come for about 700 years. Jesus' sermon at the synagogue in Nazareth was a declaration that he was the Messiah. Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2, and chapter 58, verse 6, and declared that he was the Messiah that the prophecy was referring to. Verses 20 and 21 says, "Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" After Jesus read the verses in the book of Isaiah, he handed the scroll to the attendant and sat down on the chair at the podium. In synagogues, the preacher read the word of God at the podium and sat down to give a sermon. The conclusion of Jesus' sermon was, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." But this probably was in all of his sermon. If Jesus had simply read the word of God from the Old Testament and said a few words afterwards when he preached at synagogues in Galilee. Not everyone would have praised him, as noted in verse 15, no matter how concise and great his sermon was. And we can assume that Jesus probably interpreted and preached the sermon after reading the book of Isaiah. Although the details of the sermon are not recorded in the Gospel of Luke, let us examine the verses from the book of Isaiah that Jesus talked about in his sermon. In prophet Isaiah's prophecy from about 700 years ago, the Spirit of the Lord, quoted in verse 18 of today's text, was God, the Spirit. The quote, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, means God the Spirit has come to Jesus. The first thing God the Spirit did after coming to Jesus was to anoint him. Unlike the Hebrew and the English Bible, the Korean translation of verse 18 puts the anointed part before the part about proclaiming the good news to the poor. This emphasizes the anointing of Jesus rather than his proclaiming the good news to the poor. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came to Jesus. The coming of the Holy Spirit means anointing. Messiah in Hebrew means the anointed one. The word in the New Testament that is equivalent to the word Messiah in the Old Testament is Christ. Messiah in the times of the Old Testament was a respected title of the king. The coming of the Holy Spirit to Jesus meant that Jesus became an anointed king. Jesus was the one the Holy Spirit came to, the one who was anointed, the Messiah and the Christ, and he declared this in the sermon he preached at the synagogue in Nazareth. However, the Messiah that the Jewish people had thought of and longed for was a Messiah who would regain the sovereignty of Israel and recreate the times of David in their lives. The work of the Messiah that Jesus preached was different from what the Jewish people wanted. So then, what kind of Messiah was Jesus? Jesus was a Messiah who came to deliver the good news to the poor. On one level, the poor refers to people who face material poverty. At Jesus' time, when Roman governors started their new posts, they often levied heavy taxes and nearly robbed the residents of the regions where they began to rule for their own wealth and advancement within a short period of time. The Jewish people, who were already suffering from these circumstances, were burdened yet again with a tax to practice their religion. The people of Galilee made a living by farming, as over 90% of the fertile land of Galilee were used for farming. But the problem was that most people became tenant farmers or serfs because they were unable to pay the heavy taxes that were imposed on them. These poor people desperately wished for the Messiah to come and to free them from their economic difficulties. Many of these people only saw the situation they were in and failed to see the not too short arm of God beyond their difficulties, which can be seen in the next week's sermon, where you will learn that the people who heard Jesus declaring that he's the Messiah in the synagogue in Nazareth ended up rejecting him. The poor were socioeconomically marginalized people. Whether their poverty resulted from political reasons, socioeconomic reasons, their lack of capability, or health reasons, people in poverty hope to be free from poverty. However, it is difficult to overcome poverty overnight. Jesus came to earth and gave food to the hungry and healed the diseased. but he did not solve the problem of poverty by meeting the poor people's needs with materials. Jesus did not become a political messiah who changed the tax system, improved the wage system, and bettered the relationship between the landlords and the tenant farmers. Then, what did it mean for Jesus to spread the gospel to the poor when he did not come as a political messiah? What would be good news for the poor? Just as wealth cannot be a condition for salvation, poverty also cannot be a condition for salvation. Jesus did not begin his work in Jerusalem, where the ruling class and the rich people mainly resided, but in Galilee, which was full of socioeconomically marginalized people of the low class, because he decided to first preach to the people who had no hope except for God. Spreading the gospel to the poor does not involve helping them to rise from poverty by meeting their material needs, but instead by helping them to see the arm of God that is not too short. Are you facing difficulties in your lives today? They may vary in degree, but there is no one alive who has no difficulties at all. Aren't we all poor people who cannot but hope and pray to God? Then today, if we believe that the Lord who speaks through today's text in the Gospel of Luke comes to us to tell us the good news, then in what way would today's sermon be good news or gospel to us? The Lord does not simply resolve our difficulties in life by giving us material goods or by removing obstacles. If he were that kind of God, we would all have to be wealthy. None of us should have lost our jobs. None of us should have debts. All of us must own homes. None of us should be ill. And we must all have a lot of material goods. Just as Jesus did not reward people with materials 2,000 years ago, Jesus does not solve our problems by giving us materials. The not-too-short arm of God does not solve our troubles by meeting our material needs, healing the sick, or removing obstacles. Instead, the Lord wishes for our change of heart. He hopes that we will become poor people who desperately yearn for God. When our hearts change, we can see the arm of God that isn't too short, reaching out to us beyond the problems that we're facing in our lives. Those who can see the Lord's arm are the people who have received the gospel. Today, at this time, I pray that all of us may receive the gospel of the Lord who transcends time and space to teach us. The people who receive the gospel that the Lord gave us can come to understand that freedom for the prisoners does not mean physical freedom for political prisoners, but rather freedom for the prisoners of sin. The Hebrew word that has been translated as freedom in verse 18 of today's text appears 17 times in the New Testament. Except in today's text, this word is used when people are absolved from sin. Therefore, prisoners refer to prisoners of sin. What keeps us from being free today? Is it the contradictions and irrationalities of the political, economic, and social systems? Let us look back on ourselves through the perspective of God to see if we feel imprisoned by the sinful nature proliferating in politics, economy, and society, as well as the sinful nature inherent in ourselves. Recovering the sight for the blind was an important part of the work of the Messiah. chapters 7 and 18 of the Gospel of Luke mention Jesus' healing the blind. At the time, blindness was considered a punishment for sins. People who longed for the Messiah remember the prophecies of prophet Isaiah and believed that the blind who cannot be cured will be healed when the Messiah came. Jesus personally healed the blind who are physically disabled, but the blindness that Jesus the Messiah was to cure was our spiritual blindness. People who cannot see what they should see are spiritually blind, and people who see what they should not see are also spiritually blind. Those who only see what is in front of them and fail to see the arm of God that isn't too short is also spiritually blind. Just as Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, the blind cannot lead the blind. This means that the spiritual blind, who cannot see the not too short arm of God beyond our circumstances, cannot lead another spiritual blind who is only immersed in the reality. The one who would open their spiritual eyes is Jesus the Messiah. The first part of verse 18 in Acts chapter 26, which Luke recorded, says, "To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God." This shows that only those who can open their spiritual eyes can see the things they should see and turn from the power of Satan to God. Secondly, setting the oppressed free in Jesus' work involved setting those who had been oppressed by the devil free. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 explains the details of Jesus' work of healing those who had been oppressed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Setting the oppressed people free in Jesus' work involved those who had been oppressed by the devil free. As I explained before, the word freedom was used in connection with forgiveness of sins, and sins originated from the temptation of Satan. Therefore, freedom for the oppressed and the imprisoned means freedom from sin and Satan. The oppressed and the imprisoned can be freed. The poor can receive the gospel, and the blind can see again only through the grace of God. And the Lord's grace comes to us in the year of the Lord's favor. Let me read verse 19. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus' mission was to spread the news about the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor referred not to the freedom and liberation from physical and material restrictions, or to recovery from illness, but to freedom from sin and the power of Satan, the recovery of sight to the spiritual blind so they can see the not too short arm of God, and preaching of the gospel to the people who are poor of heart, who cannot have any hope on their own, but only in God. This year of the Lord's favor was declared during Jesus' sermon at a synagogue in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. But his words transcended time and space through the Gospel of Luke and came to us today. This day is also the year of the Lord's favor. And we must live in the year of the Lord's favor. Those who live in the Lord's favor today are the people who recognize Jesus as the Messiah, not of the world, but of the worlds of God, and receive Jesus' words that today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing in faith. Let me read verses 18 and 19 again. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I hope that today's scripture was fulfilled in our hearing. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son to this earth to find the ones who are lost. 2,000 years ago, Jesus preached the verses from the book of Isaiah at a synagogue in Nazareth and said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The words of Jesus has transcended time and space over 2,000 years and was fulfilled in the hearing of the members of the congregation of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church today. And we thank you for your grace. Please help us to remember that only those who recognize Jesus as the Messiah of not the secular world, but of the world of God, and believe the words of Jesus can turn today into the day of grace. Embrace us with your grace so that we will no longer be waiting for tomorrow. Please sever the train of sin that Satan created in many cunning ways today so that we may enjoy freedom from slavery and oppression. See the arm of God, which isn't too short, beyond the difficulties that we are facing today, and receive the gospel humbly as the poor people who can only pray to God, unable to create hope of our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.